Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Forgotten. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 4. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Verse 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." The word "forgotten" in Strong's is number 1585. It's a middle voice. It comes from two other words. It means to be utterly oblivious of, or forget. You are exhorted to advance steadily from being a baby Christian to higher levels of maturity without any fear of suffering. Get in Christ by humbling yourself and learn to abide in Him as long as you can. Sin will get you out. You must strive against sin. If anything gets you in the flesh at a low level of pressure, you will have grace and truth to repent. He holds back the consequences of sin so that you can repent deeply from not asking God the small things when you start following Christ. Everything you need is in Christ, so there's nothing gained by coming out and getting in the flesh to do what you did before. At the time of Paul's letter, the Jews in Jerusalem had been split into three distinct groups. Number one, the elect. Now in other countries, scattered in the persecution, after giving the good confession in Jerusalem, they had lost jobs, their career, and homes. But God was using them to speak to the Gentiles about following Christ, because they were denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. Number two, the new converts, excommunicated and put outside the city of David by the religious Jews. They were even tempted to go back to the synagogue at the time for the sake of the persecution. Number three, those resisting truth and conviction after hearing Peter's message at Pentecost, following the unconverted religious Jews with their man-made rules, regulations, and outward righteousness. When Jesus came the first time, the religious Jews were asleep, following the letter of the law, praying on street corners, and wearing smart religious clothes. They used the law as a cloak for wickedness because they were still doing what they wanted when they wanted. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, reading verse 1. "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." Verse 2. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things?" Verse 3. "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Verse 4. "Of these 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem?" The converted Jews put outside the city by the religious Jews, escaped the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. You have to be in the right place at the right time too, or you will perish with the cold-hearted by listening to your own ideas of what is right and wrong. Our righteousness is now by faith doing what he wants us to do in complicated situations. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, "And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by him." Paul's letter addressed the faint-hearted, double-minded believers, oblivious to the fact that Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with a living God. Those avoiding the truth and daily conviction in the small things for the sake of their flesh are still in nappies spiritually today. You will begin to despise correction too by not denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I read verse 23. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" Our spiritual inheritance comes from letting go of temporal things, any outward righteousness, positions, or privileges in this world, for the sake of following Christ. They are relying on his grace to hear, trust, and obey step by step in humble circumstances. If you do not deny yourself and take up your cross daily, you'll have a big step all at once at the end of your life. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and reading verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Change your priorities. If you are solving an internal issue that requires repentance from dead works with just earthly comforts, your priorities are wrong. The spiritual lessons you need will be lost if you listen to the flesh. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." Verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Verse 6. "And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." Verse 7. "And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Verse 8. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins." The word "forgotten" in Strong's here is number 3024. It comes from a similar word but it means forgetfulness or forget. Forgetting that you are purged from your sin is not a sign of old age if you're born again. Your sins were forgiven so that you could grow spiritually and respond differently to evil in this world compared to those around you. Peter gave a step-by-step guide to establishing a firm foundation so that you would not be tempted or moved by the cares of the world. You cannot establish each part without taking up your cross daily. Those who try to do this academically despise correction in the small things. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. This is Philippians chapter 4, I mean verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He will strengthen you so you can do all things without serving two masters. You need to let go of anything that you are holding on to and let God direct you by His Spirit, like a little child. Paul was not waiting on the prosperous Corinthians to meet his financial needs, but followed God's instructions personally and obeyed. He used humble circumstances to test and strengthen his foundation in Christ. Like Paul, you will need the experience of abounding and being abased to learn contentment. Paul did not need another lesson because he had repented of dead works and was seeking righteousness so he could do the will of God. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Those perfect are not seeking anything in this world, but gain something when the pressure increases. Those complete in Christ ask God consistently and get the grace in abundance to serve Him consistently in complicated situations. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4 on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on pages 69 and 70, Joseph Hedgecott writes, all you have to do is listen and obey. Everything else is His responsibility. Stop helping God. If your spiritual life is not working, you are helping in some way. Remember this quote from Arthur Burt in Pebbles to Slay Goliath. If you help God a lot, He can do a little. If you only help Him a little, He can do a lot. But if you don't help Him at all, He can do anything. Let go and let God. When you do good works or obey the truths you receive from God in your spiritualized flesh, you're trying to help Him. Your good works may look spiritual, but they will not produce intimacy with God. You should be doing good works because you have a relationship with Him. You do the works He directs because you love Him, not to get something from Him. You should not be fighting the devil on your doorstep if you're born again. Fight not to help God or give Him suggestions and follow His instructions instead. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Do not be tempted or envious of what others have obtained in this world, serving two masters. If you did not let go and let God, you will eventually lose your grip on eternal life. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and reading verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Without a childlike faith in God, you will fail to do the works God planned and instead do more dead, vain works of the flesh. You have grace and faith to hear God and not serve sin. You should have ears to hear that there is nothing good in you at salvation. After nearly destroying your whole life serving the flesh, you shall have fully accepted the need to follow Christ wholeheartedly without thinking. Those making the decisions after salvation with their minds still have a confidence in the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. If you're always seeking blessings and deliverance, you're on the broad way. The way of righteousness is the narrow way. The pressure will expose what is in your heart so you can repent before it's too late. You will never find the entrance to the narrow way serving two masters. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. When the devil roars like a dictator, those living in darkness believe democracy is the answer. Democracy, however, is slowly destroying the few Christian values left from a previously awake generation or revival. His people have become lazy, worldly, lukewarm, and neutralized through democracy. In countries in the past controlled by dictators, where the church was strong, they had to work together. Ask God everything in humble circumstances. You need a solid foundation to resist what's coming. Pressure increases gradually over time, so if you are not deepening your foundations, you will eventually stop following Christ and serve sin. Keep a sin list, and over time you'll find all the accesses of the devil with grace and truth. No one in the church of Jesus Christ has authority to teach unless he or she is living under pressure on the narrow way. Jesus taught in John 10, verses 27 to 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, and reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Are you oblivious to the fact that you have a new covenant that is actually based on hearing and obeying the Spirit in trials and difficulties? You have to hear his voice, get to know, and follow Christ consistently with the gift of eternal life, or you can be plucked out of the Father's hand. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Those working out their salvation are seeking his righteousness on the path God has set before them. It may not be comfortable for the flesh, but they're not rebellious. The word of life is what you discover personally on the narrow way, following Christ under pressure. The pressure God allows will cause sin to manifest early so you can see it and save yourself through deep repentance. Sin can occur at the root level or the fruit level. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. This is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Peter 3:15 says, But in your hearts set Christ apart as holy, and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. We serve a living God. If you cannot sanctify God as the final authority in your heart through the witness of the Spirit, you believe lies instead. You might know the truth in your head, but in areas where you do not acknowledge God, you believe in your own ability to come to the truth. What you believe in your head will not change you. If you want to know what you believe in your heart, look at what you do under pressure. Be ready to give an account of your life to anyone who asks why you are doing what you do. Those following Christ delivered in trials consistently have the hope of resurrection on the last day, seeking righteousness so they can hear his instructions. David wrote in the Psalms 16 and verse 11. This is in the Psalms, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand they are pleasures forevermore. You will look like you are baptized in lemon juice serving two masters. His right hand was intended to bring pleasure, but if you're listening to the lust of the flesh, it'll bring correction and chastisement. You determine how God uses his right hand in your life. The joy of the Lord comes through being in right standing with God always. You will experience his joy obeying him under higher and higher levels of pressure. Those not pleasing God seek pleasure elsewhere. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He loves you and is transmitting his perfect will for your life. He'll remind you of what you need to know, even when the pressure increases. As long as you are abiding in Christ on the narrow way, you will have ears to hear. You will not forget anything important spiritually. If you have a love relationship with God, Let the Holy Spirit be your comforter, not the flesh, or you will sin again. God sees your heart and knows when you are not seeking truth, and he will correct you before sin manifests. John wrote in 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. There should not be anything in your house or on your person you purchase without asking the Lord. Check all your movements and relationships with God. If you did something without asking God first, you have idols. Trust and ask God alone in complicated situations. You will get yourself entangled in this world again and fall away that seems right if you are not diligently asking God everything. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and reading verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In ministry, God can use anyone to pass on his word to others. Trials and difficulties that normally cause your body at least to complain will test your foundation to see if it's firmly established. Keep working on the lordship of Christ in all areas, and you'll not be a castaway. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I read verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Your ability to hear God under pressure is proof that you've established him as Lord up to some level. You will deceive yourself and others by just calling Jesus Lord. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Those trying to make money for the sake of a comfortable lifestyle are in danger as this world is passing away. Lay hold on eternal life, or you will not have a good foundation when it matters. You should not be high-minded, welcoming humble circumstances to prove that you're using the gift of eternal life. Those who are rich are responsible to make sure wealth is passed on to the right person at the right time before they die. Having too much wealth throughout your life will make you lazy, not learning lessons of faith you need. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The word zealous in Strong's is number 2206. It comes from another word which means to have warmth of feeling, for or against, affect or covet earnestly, have desire, move with envy, be jealous over, zealously, or be zealously affected. Those only hearing God under a low level of pressure do not have ears to hear or eyes to see the storm that is coming. You cannot grow without correction and conviction. Your part is to be excited about correction. You are hot hearing and obeying the Spirit in ministry, but cold when you lean to your own understanding. God chastens those he loves, so they go from being lukewarm to hot in complicated situations through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 16. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, everything verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Holiness in all areas is the trademark of a servant of the Lord. Those making excuses for not asking God in a trial cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. False prophets tell you that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. They become angry, bitter, and produce thorns and thistles without the comforts of the world to keep them happy. The devil uses such false prophets to neutralize the church. False prophets in sheep's clothing can only deceive those seeking vain ministry and outward righteousness. False prophets sow seeds in your life too that make you produce thorns and thistles in the trials of life. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm reading verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. God is not going to remove the false prophets, because the problem is in those too lazy now to use eternal life that Jesus provided as a gift. You can come to the knowledge of the truth with this gift when you see bad fruit appear in your own life through conviction and repent. You have to save yourself through repentance or be left behind. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with God. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need for this life now and in eternity. False prophets in the church help you make the wrong choice, telling you it's okay for you to do what you want when you want with just an outward righteousness. Jesus said in John 17, verses 3 and 4. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Glorify God by finishing the work he planned for you. You can do this by obeying the Spirit like Christ did. He had no advantage over you and gave up everything to give you the ability to hear his voice in all areas. Those interpreting the teachings of Christ in Bible school with their minds are ignorant and believe Christianity is just another religion. They're not qualified to talk about true salvation, using their minds trying to come to the truth. They do not believe it's necessary to lay hold on the gift of eternal life in complicated situations, and they will lose the chance to rule and reign with Christ. Everything you need for life comes through your communication with God, including how to be ready for his appearing. You may have a smartphone in this world, but those ready for his appearing have a two-way phone with God that works when the pressure to compromise increases. We read in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 28. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many I say unto you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock, at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. In the book Sound Doctrine, in section 1, Ways That Seem Right, in chapter 5, on two ways to God, on pages 36 to 39, Joseph Hedgecott writes, One particular teaching that is crucial to your Christian walk is how to get to know God. I believe every child of God should be able to come into the presence of God and abide there. They should be able to fellowship with God and communicate with Him so that they can get to know Him in a personal, intimate way. Every child of God is heir to this promise. Every real Christian I've met wants to be able to abide in the presence of God, communicate with Him, and get to know Him in a personal way. There's no way you can have the Spirit of God in you and not have that desire. Your flesh doesn't want that, but the new nature does. The Spirit will always resist the flesh that wants to stay away from God. I share in my testimony about the breaking time I went through with the Lord. I had been a child of God for many years, but I was a typical prodigal son. I went through a time of pressure in my life when everything had gone wrong. I was desperate enough that I was willing to listen to someone witnessing to me. When I finally got to the end of my rope and cried out to God, that's when I met love himself. God showed up and simply loved me. He forgave my sins, cleansed me from all unrighteousness, and gave me a fresh start. That encounter with waves of God's love rolling over me caused me to fall in love with the Lord. All I wanted to do was to get to Him. It was the same way when I fell in love with my wife, Shirley. All I had on my mind was being with her. I wanted to spend every minute I could with her. That's the result of being in love. Anyone in love has that desire to be together. If you don't desire to be with that person, you aren't in love very much. If you're really in love, you want to be together. Because of my desire to know God, I asked the minister who witnessed to me what to do. I wanted to know what to do to get that relationship. I saw two major requirements to reach this goal. I had to get in the presence of God and abide there. I also had to be able to communicate with Him two ways. With Him talking to me as well as me talking to Him. I can't get to know someone if I do all the talking. The person you want to get to know has to do most of the talking. This is the counsel the minister gave me, and it's what most Christians would say is how to get to know God in a deep, intimate way. In numerous Pentecostal and evangelical churches, the same basic method of getting to know God is taught. It is also taught to new converts. The typical counsel is, read the Word of God. I was told to read John because it tells of God's love. Pray every day. Keep the sin out of your life. And repent of any known sin. Get in a church that believes the Bible and has a good pastor who will teach you. Fellowship with other Christians and don't spend time with ungodly people. Witness to others about Jesus. And if you do all these things, you will grow in the knowledge of the Lord. That's pretty good preaching. The only problem with it is it doesn't work. It never has and it never will. Some people think I'm teaching error when I say this. What do you mean? This won't work. Do you remember the illustration regarding the difference between true and truth? Satan will give you a bunch of things that are true and say them in a way that will bring you to a conclusion that is a lie, even though the things that were said are true. The conclusion of what I just said isn't truth. Doing all these things will cause you to grow in the Lord, but is that what I asked? I didn't ask how to grow. I asked how to get to know God in an intimate, personal way. Those are two different things. If we make those statements to a baby Christian, what conclusion will they come to? They will come to the same conclusion everyone does all over the world. If they do these works faithfully, they will grow enough that one of these days they'll reach a level of maturity that they'll be able to come into the presence of God and abide there. God will then speak to them and direct them for His glory. That conclusion is a lie. That's why this method will never work. The conclusion people come to is that this is the way for you to get communication with God, which means you'll be able to stay in the presence of God, communicate with God, and get to know Him. I'm telling you, this is a way that seems right, but it's not the truth. It will not lead you to what you desire. If you're going to expose the way that seems right, which is really a lie disguised as truth, you have to realize you won't have believed it if you knew it was a lie. You'll only release faith into it if you believe it's the truth. But once you release your faith into it, that's what you start doing. It doesn't mean you stop wanting that relationship with God, but you have begun to use a method that will never work. I've met people who have been Christians for many years, and they've desired this relationship with God for all that time, but they still don't have it. They can remember occasional visits with God. It's as if they only have visitation rights. We can get the feeling that God doesn't have time for us. We know that's not the truth, yet our experience seems to say it is. This is a method of getting to know God that people have used all over the world, and they haven't gotten the fellowship they wanted. They don't really abide with God, and they don't hear God. Their reactions show they don't really know Him by how they respond to what He does in their lives. Why doesn't it work? The fruit says something is wrong. If God wants us to have fellowship with Him, there must be a way to do it. Do you believe John 10:27? Are you one of God's sheep? Do you hear His voice? Many Christians believe that they're God's sheep, but when they ask Him something, they can't hear an answer. God may communicate with them, but it certainly isn't state of the art. And they try to explain this away. God not only wants you to have fellowship with Him, He wants you to have consistent fellowship. He wants you to abide in Him constantly. He wants you to have clear communication so that He can direct you in every situation of your life and answer you clearly when you ask Him something. Do you believe God wants this and that it is possible to have? I find Christians all over the world who don't believe that's possible. Some have studied the Word enough that they know it is possible. Do you believe it's easy or hard to do? Most Christians think it's a very hard thing to walk in a real Christian life. It's not hard, it's impossible. In the flesh, but in the spirit, it's a piece of cake. Which one are you in, flesh or spirit? Your confession will tell you if you are in the spirit or in the flesh. If you're doing it the right way, it's easy. If you're doing it in the way that seems right, it's not just hard, it's impossible. The fruit is that you've been trying to do it for 50 years and you still can't do it. Naturally, you come to the conclusion that walking with God is very hard or even impossible. You may even decide only a few special people can know God. You don't believe the average Christian can do it. None of those statements are true. I don't believe it's impossible or even hard. If you do it the way God intended, it isn't for a chosen few, is for every child of God. The temptation to do what you want, when you want, will increase as this world is passing away. Your ability to abide under a low level of pressure is not enough for what is coming. Study what some of the prophets and fathers of the faith had to go through just to stay on the narrow path God chose for them. There are two methods taught how to grow up spiritually. One method says grow up, then get in with no striving. In contrast to that, the correct teaching is for you to strive to get in first. You are given grace and truth to remove satanic accesses through lies you believe to be the truth in order to abide. You must reject the academic system of learning and not despise correction. Time is running out. The lessons learned to overcome the flesh at the beginning will help you abide later so that sin does not get you out. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 39. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, and reading verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's elect pass on truth and the good news of his lordship and how he saved them from trials and difficulties. Use a notebook so you don't forget the lessons you learned, or the trial will repeat itself through forgetfulness. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life, in thought, purpose, or action. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in a trial. Even under great pressure, only one thing can separate you from fellowship and experience his goodness, and that is your personal sin. God is in control, but you are turning your back on Christ by listening to your flesh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ministry is hearing God for others that depart from the truth of diligently asking God in all areas are deceiving themselves and others. If you have not made Jesus the absolute functional Lord of your life, you do not believe in your heart the wages of sin is death. God is not going to lower his standards just because you're born again. Those learning the mechanics of hearing God with their mind leave out the parts of Jesus' teaching that make them uncomfortable. In the last days, the lukewarm church will have an appearance of serving God, saying, Lord, Lord, like the religious Jews when Jesus came the first time. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, and reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. When your circumstances change and you go back to your reasoning and understanding, you are departing from the truth and making excuses for the flesh. The small amount of pressure God allows proved that you are not trusting God with all your heart. Those who fear God develop their ability to hear his voice in the small things and use the gift of eternal life to depart from evil. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 says, "And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, established and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. There is nothing to fear, as God will remove any unnecessary suffering that you do not have the grace to endure. Only the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Suffering is short-lived, following Christ consistently. Those steadfastly asking God in all areas are wise." Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14, I'm reading verse 12. "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Verse 13. "Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." You need to repent of using your mind to make decisions. Through the Spirit, Jesus is willing to make all the decisions from now on by his Spirit. So you never follow a way that seems right with your mind ever again. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and reading verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Saying a prayer saves no one, as this would be salvation by works. You receive the Holy Spirit when you thoroughly repent of dead works, not just bad works. You should have been convicted deeply of using your mind and being proud. A dead work is any work that the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do or give you the grace to do. You receive the Holy Spirit so you can now repent of dead works and do the works he planned instead. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6, I mean verse 17. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you." Verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Verse 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." In the book Three Infallible Witnesses, 2023 edition, in the section Hearing God's Voice, on pages 9 and 10, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "All methods of communication from God are valid and important. Some are immediate, but others are more complex and detailed. If you focus on your ability to communicate instead of loving and knowing God, you may be led into ideas that appear to be righteous, but are merely religious. Many believers begin in God's presence, but lose fellowship with him because they focus on religious methods instead of loving God and obeying him. If you struggle to hear the Lord or come into the presence of God, always examine your basic spiritual foundations. Perhaps your love for the Lord has been polluted by other motives. You may have faith in yourself instead of God, so you question his will instead of trusting him. Doubt and unbelief immediately move you out of God's kingdom. They cause you to take over lordship without realizing it. The answer to any spiritual problem is repent, humble yourself again, and confess your sins to God." Joseph Hedgecott described himself as an expert in the realm of communication and communion with God. If you are following the right form of doctrine, not just knowing the right teaching, you will save yourself. Look at the fruit in your life. Make no excuses for disobeying the Holy Spirit as you will lose your holiness. Christianity is not just another religion, but a love relationship with the living God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The discontent in this world will never be happy without a change of priorities. They'll be left behind when Jesus appears. He does not want you to perish, and that's why he corrects his people. Conviction is a blessing. You'll become oblivious to the truth, again, listening to the cares of the world and serving two masters. It's your future. If you are not focused on eternity, your priorities are wrong. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 13 to 15. This is in Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Those doing what they want, when they want, forget the need to be led by the Spirit for the sake of their flesh. The new covenant is based on better promises, but they only work for those who have a heart after God, diligently seeking to do His perfect will through obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's not for the lazy. Being led or controlled by the Spirit is not automatic. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh is completely corrupt. Stubborn hearts in the church, still using their minds to consult their own will, are not following Christ. God uses trials and difficulties to purify their faith. So those listening to the flesh who know this do not get on the narrow way. Everyone has a lifetime to repent of using their mind. Those still listening to their flesh will become a castaway because he is not corrupt. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you ever come to the conclusion God is the problem, then you are using your mind. Those who act promptly like a little child believe God is who he says he is. If you cannot believe with your whole heart, you are judging God that he has been corrupted by the devil. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, this is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. The devil can only stop or hinder you developing a love relationship with God by your decision to serve the lust of your own flesh. Torment comes from not diligently or consistently seeking God. If you have any fear, then you believe lies about God. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The testimony of those diligently seeking his commands is that they have enough love today, in all circumstances. You will get more power to do everything out of love. He does the work through you when you obey and keep his commandments for your life, resulting in glory and honor for God. He has the plan, not you. God is pure. God provides his commands so you can be pure too. Jesus said in John 14:15, This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You are given enough love and grace at salvation to obey and keep the command Jesus gives you. If Jesus is your Lord and Master, you are still humble. Jesus showed us the way to overcome the cross. You can get grace by humbling yourself to start this process. If you cannot obey his commandments, something is seriously wrong, and you've stopped following Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 to 8. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6, I'm reading verse 3. If any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You are nothing without having what you need to obey God instantly. He is the source of everything good, not you. He provides what is required to do, what is perfect and pure. He is generous by giving you his commands, so you could also sow and not deceive yourself with imperfect love. If you do everything out of love, for example, then you will reap a more intimate relationship with God. You will not have an abundance of love listening to the flesh. Paul wrote about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In the Message Bible, Hebrews 5, 7 to 10 says, while he lived on the earth, anticipating death, Jesus cried out in pain and wept in sorrow as he offered up priestly prayers to God. Because he honored God, God answered him. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Then, having arrived at the full stature of his maturity, and having been announced by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believingly obey him. Many in the church do not believe in the humanity of Jesus today. Christ emptied himself and lived on the earth controlled by the Spirit. Are you anticipating death? Jesus was, and it made him pray and cry out weeping. He used trials and difficulties as stepping stones to prepare him for the cross and overcome. Step by step, Christ rejoiced as he suffered a little at different levels of pressure along the way. The cross is one step too much for anyone. You will not be ready for what is coming without taking up your cross daily. Now is the time to learn obedience in the small things. James wrote in James chapter 2, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 9. This is James chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Verse 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Verse 3. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Verse 4. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Verse 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Verse 7. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Verse 9. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Eternal life is not an insurance policy for the rich and the poor to live different lifestyles in the church and use to get into heaven. I have seen some comfortable Christians grow fast spiritually when they know they are running out of time. They were lazy before, holding on to something else in this life, but the reality of their death or a change in circumstances woke them up spiritually. I've seen the poor, through riches, forsake their spiritual inheritance, seeking earthly comforts. It's not too late for everyone to invest in the kingdom of God by hearing his voice and letting him make the right decisions. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verses 26 to 28. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When you start following Jesus, someone else that lives close may call you a fanatic, praying, studying, or always thinking about God. They may say that you are of no earthly use looking up. That person will be left behind in the tribulation if they do not change their priorities and repent. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 34 to 37. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Verse 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear again, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Do not use your mind to try and understand the things of God. You are not under the law, but under grace, to learn obedience to the Spirit and bear fruit. Time is running out for everyone. If you make mistakes, you have a little time left to learn from them and repent. Your physical body will complain when you obey, but it has to die or perish anyway, because it's just temporal, like the grass of the field. Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 13, verses 37 to 40. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. Look at what you produce in trials and difficulties. The fruit never lies. You should not be producing thorns and thistles. God sends trials to purify your faith. But if you're easily offended and your character is judgmental, that came from you. You either listen to the flesh or the devil. Everything controlled and produced by obedience to the Holy Spirit will not be destroyed. What is controlled by the devil through the flesh will be destroyed. If you're not taking obedience to God seriously and seeking righteousness in complicated situations, you may have to reap the consequences first, but you still have to repent. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 20 to 22. I'm reading the book of Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and became the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you will have the ability to resist temptation and be ready for his appearing. If you've come to the conclusion there is nothing more to do and just wait for Jesus to come back, you believe lies. The term finished work of Christ is devilish, making people lazy in the church today. You should be diligently asking God, seeking his perfect will with the gift of eternal life. And listening to false prophets, you become lazy and inactive at a crucial time when you need to seek more pressure by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 23 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and reading verse 23. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou had not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is thine. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word talent in Strong's is number 5007. It's a derivative of an original form of word meaning to bear, equivalent to another word. A balance, as supporting weights, that is, by implication, a certain weight, and thence a coin, or rather a sum of money or a talent. God-given talents balance or help you bear the pressures of life and not serve two masters. Everyone has a special ability so that they will have more time to study his word or get answers or help others. Everyone has at least one talent, but what do you do with it? Sometimes those who are very successful develop their talents further by taking a basic job to prove and tone their skills in business. You cannot take your money with you. The talent belongs to God and it can be taken away from you. The talent was given to you to be a doer of his word in situations and produce more talents. Lazy and wicked servants in the church using the grace as an occasion for the flesh will wake up when their talent stops working. In a fiery trial, they will have enough time to acknowledge that they were unwilling to use their talents in the way God intended and learn spiritually. James wrote in James chapter 2, verses 17 to 24. This is in the book of James, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath no works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 22. Seeing thou have faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24. And you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Prove your faith is in God now, and his rightly divided word of truth, because if not, it's dead. No one is saved by doing good works, but the works you do under pressure prove that your faith is in God and not yourself. This world is passing away, so you should be seeking his perfect will and not earthly comforts. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I mean verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10 says, but people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money, things that hurt them and make them evil-minded, and finally send them to hell itself. For the love of money is the first step toward all kinds of sin. Some people have even turned away from God because of their love for it, and as a result have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Those using God-given talents to make money fall into temptation. You will have many sorrows serving money. If you are wise, use the time to study so you can hear and obey God instantly under any amount of pressure. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Samuel Chadwick, who lived 1860 to 1932, a lay preacher, also served as president of the Wesleyan Methodist Conference from 1918 to 1919. He was also the principal lecturer at Cliff College near Chesterfield, England. Samuel said, the man who thinks he can know the Word of God by mere intellectual study is greatly deceived. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. Whenever Samuel Chadwick sent out those he was training in ministry, he would always say, go and may the devil go with you. Many did not understand this statement. Samuel believed that if the young men sent out would trust and obey the Holy Spirit, they would be victorious and no harm would come to them. He also believed that if the devil did not turn up at their meetings, they had become ineffective by listening to their own carnal desires. Gifted and talented leaders today do not see the need to ask God the small things. They have chosen ignorance because they want to be in control of their personal lives. They are serving the lust of the flesh and despise correction. We read in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew 18, I'm reading verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as his little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Those who are carnal see becoming like a little child as foolish or unnecessary. The disciples were arguing who was the greatest based on their talents, abilities, and skills. They were not comparing themselves to Christ, who was completely submitted to God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The world is only passing away now because of the church. He wants you to be his bride. Are you going to make some excuse for developing your spiritual life, seeking a comfortable life on earth instead? Now is the time to use the grace and mercy to seek God diligently. You'll need more grace to obey at higher levels of maturity. Be honest about your motive and attitude as the pressure applied increases to purify your heart and mind. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 to 29. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 25. And this is the promise which he hath promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it had taught you, ye shall abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Eternal life is promised to those learning lessons on the narrow way, because it leads to life. If you get high-minded, then you'll eventually fall from grace. You may be exposed to some suffering on the narrow way, but those who do what is right are born of him, not just born again. They're like Christ in every way, up to a certain level of temptation. They patiently wait for God's wisdom or a way of escape. They rely on the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. They know that their purpose is to do the will of God every day like Christ did. With God's anointing, you will abide under the pressure and not compromise to learn the lessons God is teaching you. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 24. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 20. For all the promises of God are in him, are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us as God. Verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Verse 24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 13, on As Your Foundations Deepen, on page 122, Joseph Hedgecott writes, pressure is good for you. You may be tempted to take over lordship and depressurize a difficult situation. However, if you are determined to stand on what God says, his grace will give you the strength you need. Every believer's spiritual foundation can handle pressure to a certain point. If you can handle 1,000 units of pressure, he does not assign you 1,500 units of pressure. If you are stubborn and insist that you can handle more than he requires, he may allow you to fail as part of your training. You will leak, but he will show you how and why you leaked. As you learn from the spiritual situation, he will then open another door with the same amount of pressure, because you have been strengthened and trained. You'll be able to handle it. You can endure pressure with contentment when you trust God. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you are able to endure, but he will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. You will get behind spiritually if you do not abide in Christ. The promises of God are to be used in a pressure situation through the communication system. You have access to the kingdom of God. Your communication needs to be state-of-the-art if you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. All your orders come this way, your backup and supplies, as well as the information about what the devil is planning. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Paul had to correct the comfortable Corinthians hearing God in ministry and in the gifts of the Spirit at a low level of pressure. Sin was manifesting in the church, and they had created idols or areas of their lives where they did not ask God. The pressure God sends will not destroy you, but cause you to see areas where you're also ignorant. God is in control. The pressure will be enough to expose areas where you are not diligently asking God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Every day is an opportunity to experience the kingdom of God in the small things. You should be seeking righteousness where you were tempted to use your mind before. Just because you cannot hear his voice clearly in all areas, it does not mean he has retired or gone on holiday. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, casting down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Nothing should be done without asking God. Do not listen to your own imaginations based on earthly dreams and desires. By not taking your own thoughts captive, you will eventually forget your purpose for being here on earth. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep, Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about forgetfulness. I believe God is transmitting his perfect will for your life every day. The things that you need to hear, he wants you to hear. But there are areas that are blocking you. If you can deal with those things that are being revealed by in day-to-day situations under pressure. I believe God is going to open your eyes to those things that you need to deal with. He is faithful. He is in control. And he knows exactly what you need to work on. It won't be in the things that you expect. It won't be in your way you express yourself or present yourself. But it will be in those things where you use your mind every day and are trying to understand or come to truth with your human strength. Father, I pray that God, you use this message. Speak to your people. You know there are things that they need to deal with. And I ask that by your Spirit, you will make it clear to them what they need to change. Give them eyes to see as they go through those things that you are taking them through. Help them to use a notebook so that they will work on those things. They will have eyes to see and ears to hear in the days ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.